CIUT 89.5, the sound of your city.
Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host, and with me is Phil Conlon. How are you doing, Phil?
Yes, good afternoon, Phil.
We're going to talk about a refugee crisis in Congo, Rwanda. There is a, as always, a neglected factor here that the world talks about all kinds of things, but there have been many armed clashes in Congo and in the region of the Great Lakes of Africa. We're going to talk to Justin Bahunga, who is part of an opposition platform group that is calling on the United Nations to do its duty to protect refugees. We get a lot of refugee discussions around Myanmar and other places where everybody's very seized on it, as judges say, we're seized on this, but they're not seized on the issue of Rwandan refugees. And then we're going to be speaking later to Tamara Lawrence about NATO and how it fits into the current crisis with Iraq, Iran. There is a NATO force in Iraq. The government of Iraq has asked foreign armies to leave Iraq, and so far none of them have left. And so we're going to talk about that, and we're actually Canada's role in NATO and whether NATO ought to exist and whether Canada should be a member. But we're joined now by Justin Bahunga. Are you there, sir?
I am, dear Phil. How are you?
Very good. And I should identify, if people want to follow this issue closely, you should go to fdu-rwanda.com,
yes.
fdu-rwanda.com. Justin Bahunga,
yes.
You're the interim president of that organization. Now,
I've been confirmed now.
I'm sorry?
I've been confirmed. I'm no longer interim.
You're confirmed. Oh,
yes.
I'm sorry. I'll be a little more respectful, Mr. President. congratulations.
Never mind.
By the way, I did read of that. There was a conference only 3-4 days ago held in Brussels where this matter was being dealt with. Now,
we had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, the title of the statement that has been put out is Public Appeal to Stop the Governments of Rwanda and the Democratic and the DRC of forceful repatriation of Rwandan refugees. And this appeal is to the government of Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of Congo and ask them to desist from violating international law by forceful repatriation of Rwandan refugees. And the opposition platform composed of the Amahoro PC, FDU-Nkinga, PS Imbirakuri, and the Rwandan National Congress. So all of these groups constitute, I think, the opposition. This is not a new issue, right? I mean, just something is going on now in South Kivu where you have many refugees. What's happened to suddenly bring this to the fore?
Thank you, Taylor. It is indeed a violation of international law with impunity. As you may recall, there were attacks on refugee camps in the south of Kivu from the 14th of December, and even earlier than that. And apparently, allegedly, to fight the alleged rebel groups fighting the government of Rwanda. But a matter of fact, when you see what happened, what they captured was the 1,800, almost 2,000. And as the International Committee of Red Cross is saying, it says many of them are vulnerable people, including the wounded, the sick, pregnant women, unaccompanied children, and the people with disabilities. And surely this can't be military people.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, when they were handed over to the government of Rwanda, without the presence of an international independent body like UNHCR, and we are told even the press were not allowed to come.
Mm-hmm.
So it looked like actually human trafficking.
Uh-huh.
But there was no agreement. There was nobody justifying that. So, and that's how the whole problem.
To underline that, is it? Do I understand you to say the UNHCR did not participate in this?
No, it did not at all. Not at all. No. Except it was just. Even the government of Congo, they're just the military handing over.
Have they been called on to? I mean, these people, these refugees have been under, at least at one time or another, under United Nations protection.
Exactly. And because you can't, as you know, you can't force people who have fled the country for real persecution, send them back by force of arms.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a clearly a version of international law.
Mm-hmm.
But what's surprising is that there was no international outcry about this violation of international law. And as you may have seen, that once we were taken into a camp in Rwanda, we kids between 12 and 15 years were told we were taken out of the camp. Nobody knows where they have gone.
Mm-hmm.
So what UNICEF, which will be following up, these are young kids. What international, the UN, nobody knows what these people are, and these young people are.
Yes.
And these are vulnerable kids.
Well, now, we mentioned before, this is really, it is quite shocking, because there have been United Nations in protected encampments, and the UNHCR is responsible, but somehow or another a gray area has developed here, because the first entity to be consulted, you would think, would be the UNHCR. And also, how about the Red Cross? What does the Red Cross say about this?
Exactly. Actually, the one who is raising an alarm, saying how these people are living in a very poor condition. They were even saying that 17 people, including 9 kids, had died there because of lack of care. Some of them are being sick and elderly. And nobody is there to tell us what has happened to them, whether they're receiving any treatment at all. But the matter is, they are still living in these very horrible conditions, and nobody seems not to care.
Mm-hmm. And of course, this appeal is to the United Nations, I suppose, that to all the states that have expressed their commitment to protection of refugees and refugee rights. But there, all those the major states are France, UK, the United States are silent, right?
They are. Yes. You see, actually, even if they are not really refugees, as you know, Taylor, these are human beings who are not to be shipped like God and handed over to another country by the military, to another military group of security forces, without any bothering at all. And of course, it's not the first time, as you will know. Now, that's why there is an issue here.
Mm-hmm.
That you know the what happened in Kibeho, where about 8,000 people were massacred by the army, and actually the person, the commander of that operation, is now a general. By that time, it was a colonel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in 1996, 1997. You remember also the refugee camps, which were under the protection of the UNHCR, were bombed, and the refugees were flooded up in the forest of the Congo. 200,000, an estimate 200,000 people were
yes.
killed.
And by the way, we could just, for Canadians to know, Montreal author Judy Reaver has described all this in her book, and I'll think of the title later, but just, I mean, this is a well-documented at this point.
Absolutely, Taylor.
So,
and actually, what everybody is saying, the part of the UN report of the 1st October 2010, says specifically in its paragraph 517, saying the apparent systematic and widespread attacks discovered in this report reveal a number of incompatible elements that, if proven before a commencement court, would be characterized as a crime of genocide.
Mm-hmm.
Interested in this report. So that has gone under the carpet.
Yes. Well, and you know, this is so striking. I mean, the problem, we might remind people, because why would the government of Rwanda, Congo, be engaging in this? This region is a mineral-rich region, and it's under which government is this part of East Congo? Who controls that and profits from it?
And absolutely. And actually, thank you, Taylor. I could remind you also of a report about the planning of Congo resources, which came out in 2003, and which is document S/2002/1146, which was saying that on the plundering of the Congo resources, which was saying that Rwanda has become the gateway through which the strategic mineral resources of this province of the Congo reach international market. And it is reported that in the year 2000 alone, the Rwandan army is thought to have made $250 million out of this trade.
Mm-hmm.
This is a report, a UN report. You have written in October 2010.
Mm-hmm.
What they are saying, how the country from Rwanda is planning the Congo resources. You have a report that is the hunting down of refugees. And at the same time, they're out when they hunt down the people who survived the massacre of 1997-1998.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and by the way, I'll just throw in here, at the Judy Reaver's book is titled In Praise of Blood. It has won many awards, a highly respected volume, and it absolutely documents in detail, in terrible, painful detail, the experience of these refugees. Now, there's an organization involved here that is raised in this statement, that is the M23 group. And who is the M23 and what's their new role?
Actually, this M23, you know, it was a proxy rebel group which was formed by Rwanda to destabilize the Eastern Congo, which actually, as I was saying, where it is exploiting mineral resources of the Congo. And as you remember, it's renowned for atrocities and the massacres of people. And the international community put pressure on Rwanda to stop supporting this group. In 2012, there was suspension of aid.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were to send this UN intervention force, made up mainly of forces from Tanzania, South Africa, and Malawi, and it was dismantled. But now, we are told this group has been armed, and now it's being sent to the Congo to be part of the so-called Rwanda Special Forces, hunting down the Rwandan refugees who survived the massacres of 1996-98.
Mm-hmm.
So it is so surprising, and it's been shocking, not surprising, but shocking.
So what they've done is they've simply change their name and the little decorations on their shoulders, and it's the same group.
I was told actually all the Rwandan special forces and which are combined this M23 have been given Congolese uniform, so they pass as if they were Congolese soldiers, but in matter of fact,
yeah. Now that
these are Rwandan special forces.
That leads to an important matter, which is raised in this statement. By the way, it is FDU, rwanda.com. We can read the full statement there. It's an appeal to stop the governments of Rwanda and the DRC forcefully repatriating Rwandan refugees. Very, very urgent matter. But you also cite the fact that there are political leaders in the DRC who are calling for this, that they are opposing the treatment of the refugees. Is that right?
It's correct. Actually, the Eastern Congo has been almost under the control by the Rwandan government through proxy rebel group or leaders allied to Rwanda. And therefore, some are saying actually that the country is already occupied. How would you allow? We are told there are about 5,000 soldiers of Rwanda in Eastern Congo. Now, if you remember, 1990, when RPF attacked Rwanda, the Rwanda had only 5,000 soldiers. And these are the ones now. You imagine now that the same number is in Eastern Congo.
Mm-hmm.
So people are even saying it is already occupied. So not even saying that is going to be but to be part of Rwanda is already actually a de facto part of Rwanda, which can operate freely, hunting what they want, extract minerals, become the gateway. So the matter of fact is, the Congolese are raising awareness, saying we are under a foreign occupation.
It is encouraging. I mean, in other words, it's not unanimous, this policy being followed by Tshisekedi. By the way, Tshisekedi has proved to be a big disappointment, hasn't he?
We never expected him to be like that. So he has almost ceded part of the sovereignty of Congo to a foreign country.
Mm-hmm.
If a country can just send his soldiers, operate at will.
So he's no improvement on young Kabila.
Actually, Kabila, I think, was even better in Kabila time than he is now.
I do remember that young Kabila once told the international media that he himself had witnessed RPF crimes in Eastern Congo. He said he watched them do it. That's a helpful observation. Nobody listened, of course.
Absolutely, because he was part of the army of the RPF at one point when they were trying to overtake Congo, and it seems his mentor was, and Kabayo doesn't hide it, that he was his mentor.
Uh-huh. Now,
so if you can say that, it'll be useful, actually, we'll have him to testify when time comes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he knows very well he was a Rwandan troops in the Congo, so he would be a very useful witness.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Justin Bohinga. He is the president of the FDU-Nkinga political party, and, of course, part of the opposition formation that is calling on international organizations, states, to do something. Now, you have a crisis in the south, where people are already basically in custody of the Rwandan army in eastern Congo and at risk of being transferred, I understand. But now we also have North Kivu, and General Karibi is saying he's going to do there what he did in the south. Is that right?
Exactly. I mean, he was claiming actually they have cleared the south. Now want to move to the north, to the North Kivu.
Yeah, for people.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say Kivu is a kind of natural border between Rwanda, Congo, and the north end of the lake, the south end of the lake.
Exactly. It's actually Kivu, north and the south, is borders Burundi, Rwanda, and Uganda.
Yeah, and the people there are very vulnerable situation, but. The matter of he has said he's going to do this. I mean, in other words, this is an order that's going to be unfolding. You anticipate in the following days, weeks, months.
Well, actually, they have cleared the south of the refugees. They want definitely to go to attack the refugees in the north. That's why we are saying that's coming to at least to say we will stop, and we hope that the Congolese aware of the plan of how of the occupation might stop this happening.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine that these forces that are going to attack refugees are the same forces, the same army that committed crimes against humanity, war
yes.
crimes, and the possible genocide, that are being sent back
yes.
to attack the same refugees, and some children actually, because it's 25 years ago. I mean, you can imagine what their mission can be. And we have seen, and it cannot be said it is going to attack the rebel groups, because the people have been shipped back in the south.
Mm-hmm.
These are not soldiers. And the same way, in 1996-97, it was the same forced repatriation of refugees under the UNHCR. So this impunity is what is shocking.
Yeah.
That now and again, people can be treated and hunted down like animals, like game,
mm-hmm.
and handed back like a booty to the government that is been chasing them.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very important. Justin Bahunga, president of FDU-Rwanda.com, we want to get back to you on this because I think we should follow exactly what unfolds. General Kabarebe, who used to be Colonel Kabarebe, is a known figure. He's been condemned. He has been identified as one who did commit crimes. So we're not talking about maybe or perhaps. He's already has a record. So you would think that we could speak up here in Canada and elsewhere and say, this has to be prevented from happening.
And you know, Taylor, what is surprising is this double standard. You know, for instance, all the other rebel movements in the region, their governments are told to enter dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
But Rwanda is not the case.
No.
And it is so surprising that President Kagame, when he was at the United Nations in 2012, he was saying that what caused genocide in Rwanda is that the international community was using double standards. That's what led to genocide in Rwanda.
Yes.
But the same international organization is applying the same thing, meaning that unfortunately we might face, even if we say it before the same logic.
That government of his seems to be able to operate with impunity, a thing that we were supposed to be putting a stop to.
Absolutely.
Justin.
For the peace.
Uh-huh.
For peace and stability in the Great Lakes, it's extremely important that the law is applied equally.
Exactly.
Without fear or favor.
Exactly. Justin Bahunga, thank you very, very much. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Taylor. I'll be more than happy. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Yep. That's and remember, it's FDU-Rwanda.com if you want to get more background on this, and I urge you to do so. We're going to have a little bit of our friend Lee Morgan, and then we're going to be talking to Tamara Lawrence.